passage is very familiar. I'm sure you've heard it before. It's one of the passages that's repeated in Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, and Gospel of Luke. It's repeated three times, so it must be a very important parable. And Jesus calls this like the basic parable that explains all the other parables, this parable of the sower. And I want to go over today because I want you to see how God's planning things in your life that will last into eternity. And the reason why I'm bringing this message today is because I believe all of us here want something that will last for eternity, don't we? And every time we open the Word of God, every time we come together in fellowship, come to Sunday worship, that's an opportunity for God to plant eternal seeds. Seeds that will grow up and last forever and ever and ever. The Word of God. And with this parable, Jesus kind of lays it out. Now, like Pastor Ian said, God's directed me to be a substitute teacher. Okay, I know a lot of you are in high school, or maybe middle school, or even in college. In college, I don't know if they have substitute teachers. They call them adjunct. You adjunct in college? Yeah, they have an adjunct professor. In high school or middle school, you call it substitute teacher. And you know, when the substitute teacher comes in, all the kids are so happy because they think the substitute teacher doesn't know what's going on and they don't have to do any work, right? But God's arranged me to be in that position because I get to meet a lot of students. I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of students and get to know them. And I've been able, in the midst of that, to take some chances and even bring in some, a witness to them, as God enables me, as God allows me to. And one of the classes, actually, I prepared to as a math teacher. I don't know how many of you are good at math or you like math. You know, when you're taking algebra, I see people shaking their heads. How many of you don't like math? Well, okay. You either love it or you hate it. But in algebra, one of the things you do are word problems, right? Those word problems you got to solve for x, solve for the variable, and you got to understand the problems and then figure out the mathematical equation. Well, Jesus here, that's what he's given us. Okay, so you get out your pencils and your paper, and this sower has x amount of seeds. Okay, that's how many seeds he has. X amount of seeds. All right, and 1/4 x goes to the pathway. Okay, that's 1/4 x that gets wasted. They get eaten up. 1/4 x goes to the shallow soil that it sprouts up, but then it dies. Like as fast as it sprouts up, it dies. That part of the seed is wasted. 1/4 x goes to the soil where there's thorns and weeds that choke out those good plants. And so those good plants don't really, they can't be fruitful. And then 1/4 of the x, the original amount, goes into good soil. Okay? Now, if that quarter, if Jesus is talking like these are like evenly distributed, you know, into fourths, of that good last quarter is divided into three parts. So each of those three parts is 1/3 of 1/4, which is very simple. You just multiply the fractions out. Each of those sections is 1/12 of the original amount. You got that, right? Right? That's straight math, isn't it? So 1/3 of the 1/4 that was in the good soil multiplied 30 times, right? 30 times. So you take 1/12 times 30, and it's like two and a half times, something like that. And then another third of the last quarter, 1/12, multiplied 60 times. You multiply that out, you get like 5 times. And then 1/12 of the seed that was sown multiplied 100 times, which is like 8 times. So if you take the last quarter bit of seed that fell into the good soil, it ends up that the result was 15.8 times the original amount that was sowed. Okay? Which, if you're talking about percents, that's over 1,580%, which is a great return. See how algebra helps you understand the Bible? Yeah. Yeah, this is called exponential growth. This is fantastic growth, 1,580%. I mean, if you could get that in the stock market, I mean, you would be fantastic. Now, here's the question, because I know you heard this parable many times. I want you to think about it, okay? Here's the question. Was the sower a success? Yes or no? Yes, okay? Because he got back 1,580% of what he put in to the sowing. Now, he was a great success, okay? But here's the next question. Was the sower a good sower? Okay, see, yeah, Pastor Ian is shaking his head. No, he wasn't a good sower. You're right. Jesus talking to these people in those days, this was an agricultural society, and they knew all about planting. And they knew how you were supposed to plant your seed. And when Jesus was telling this parable to them, they would have been scratching their head because any farmer that farmed like this must have been a nut, must have been crazy. And if you're taking notes today, the first point I want you to put down here is this is, you could really call this the parable of the careless sower. The careless sower. Okay? Because those farmers that Jesus was talking to would have thought Jesus was telling them a story about a careless sower. Now, what am I talking about here? In those days, your seed that you planted was like your money. Okay? Just like when you invest for your retirement, when you start working and you start saving up your money, your hard-earned money, you're saving it up and you're investing it. That's your seed that you're planting, that you hope will grow. And the seed is your money. Okay? Because the farmers, if that seed didn't grow, by next year, by next harvest, they were going to be hungry. They had to make sure that seed grew. So that seed was precious to them. You know, there's a psalm that says, the person that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And he's weeping because he's putting down his precious seed. It's so precious that he's like weeping to part with his precious seed. Because he's putting it down with the hope and the faith that he'll come back rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Because he's putting down something precious. He knows how valuable it is. There was an episode of Little House on the Prairie. Any of you remember that movie? That's a great family TV show. We like to watch it at home sometimes, and it's great because it gives you a picture of how the pioneers lived in the old days. And this little house on the prairie, they lived way out in Minnesota or somewhere, and they had been growing wheat. And at one point, Paul got the idea that he could grow corn, and that corn would be a good crop to grow. And he went like 2 days to a city, to purchase corn, and he convinced all the neighbors to pool their money together and to buy the corn seed. And so they invested a lot of money in the corn seed. And on the way back, as he was bringing all these sacks of corn seed, the wagon broke down. I forget exactly what happened, but the wagon broke down or something like that, and he had to go get help And by the time they got back to the wagon, birds had torn open those bags and had been eating those seeds and wasted a lot of their precious seeds. And it talked about how the seed was so precious to the farmers. And let's say you were a kid back in the old days, and your family had so much seed to use on the farm, and you went and you did with the seed that your pa had saved up. You did with that seed what Jesus says that this sower did. You scattered it here, there. You scattered some on the path. The birds ate it. You scattered some on soil that it just was too rocky, and it, you know, couldn't grow deep roots. You scattered some in soil that had a lot of weeds, and you only scattered a portion of the seed in good soil. What would happen to you? You'd probably get a whipping from your paw. Because he said, why are you wasting your seed? You're wasting 3/4 of your seed. You see the parable? See how it's a parable of a careless sower? The people in those days would have been just saying, Jesus, this is not a good farmer. This farmer was just, he was stupid. He wasted 3/4 of his good, valuable seed. But you're saying he was so fortunate, he was so lucky in that the portion that did fall in good soil grew so well. Now, let me tell you another illustration. When we moved into our house, we had a little lawn. We have a little lawn in front of our house. It's like the size of our living room carpet, basically. It's a pretty small lawn, but we were trying, you know, when we first moved in, there's some bare spots on the lawn. You know, if you ever have to take care of your lawn, the grass, and you know, you got those bare spots. It seems like it's so hard to keep your grass growing well. And so I went to Home Depot to buy grass seed. And I found that it's not cheap. You buy a box of grass seed, and it's just like a little cereal box, and it's like, I don't know, like $25 for that little box of, I don't know, maybe less than that, but it seemed like quite expensive for grass seed. So I wasn't much of a landscape person. I wasn't very experienced, but I knew that this grass seed was expensive, and I knew that I had a bare spot on my lawn, and so I was careful, like I kind of prepared the bare spot with a rake and kind of dug it up a little bit so the grass seed would go in there and settle down and water it and everything. You think I took the grass seed and threw it on the driveway? You think I would do that? You think I took the grass seed and threw it on the sidewalk? Oh, come on. You think I would do that? No. I'm not that stupid, right? I put the grass seed where I had the best chance of growing, on the bare spot. I concentrated it there because it's money. You see how different that is from Jesus' parable? Jesus gives this parable. This farmer put the seed here, he put it there, he put it over here, he put it over there. Everywhere. So this is the parable of the careless sower. So what's Jesus trying to tell us? The careless sower ended up successful. What's Jesus trying to tell us? What's he trying to tell us? Let me ask you this. You think the sower was careless, spreading the seed everywhere because he didn't really think the seed was so valuable? Do you think that's why he was careless? No, right? He knew. Jesus, in the parable, he's indicating that this is precious seed. In the interpretation, when the disciples asked him about the parable, he said the seed is God's word. The seed is God's word. And so that's the most precious seed that there is. God's word, God's seed, is the most precious seed. Because it's only God's seed that can plant something that will last into eternity. It's an eternal seed to grow an eternal plant. So God's seed is the most precious of any commodity. You know, they're talking about now, like, the resources are getting more scarce, and commodities, because more nations are becoming developed, the commodities are in more demand, and you see oil going into record levels, you know, week by week. You're going to see gasoline going up and up and up. And all these commodities are becoming so expensive. But of all the commodities, the one that's really has a shortage and the one that's most precious is the Word of God. The Word of God. Because there's a prophecy in the Old Testament. It's kind of frightening. It says, behold, the days come, says the Lord God. I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. You see, when the word of God is the most precious thing. That's the only thing that is eternal, that will bring eternal results in our lives, the Word of God. And also in another place in the Old Testament, it says the Word of God was precious, means scarce in those days. There was no open vision. And that's like the days we're living in now. We have the Word of God here. You know, we have the Bible. But a lot of places where you go, like in your schools, the Word of God is scarce. A lot of people don't know that there's even a Word of God. They don't hear the Word of God. They don't have access to the Word of God. It's scarce. It's precious. Now, is God's will, is the Lord's will, that this most precious, most scarce commodity, the Word of God, will be spread to every living human being on planet Earth? That's His will. That every soul who has ears to hear, that's why at the end of this parable, He says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Let him hear. Let him receive. That's His will. And see, that's why Jesus gives the parable. Because Jesus, He knows how precious the seed is. He knows how precious the Word of God is. But He has such a compassionate heart that He sends His Word to everybody, no matter how they're going to receive it. He wants everybody to have a chance to have access to His Word. So we see here the compassion of Jesus. And, you know, it's revealed that Jesus has such compassion, because it talks about, in the interpretation, Jesus explains that the four different types of soil are four different types of hearts, or four different conditions of a human heart. Okay? And Jesus cares about every person, no matter how their condition of their heart is. Jesus still cares about you. Okay? I imagine He feels so sad when He sees someone with a hard heart, like that rocky pathway. Like as He was giving this parable, as He's looking upon the people, some of them had their hearts were very hard, and they were just there out of curiosity, but they were there, you know, and so the Jesus' words were just like bouncing off them. Like, you know what Teflon is, right? Teflon is something doesn't stick, and some people, their hearts are like Teflon coated, you know, that word just doesn't even stick. But we still want them to hear, you know, Jesus still, when He sees someone with a Teflon-coated heart, cold heart, Jesus still loves that person, wants to give them the best, gives them the Word of God. And Jesus, when He sees somebody with a shallow heart, that's the heart that the Word just goes maybe to the mind, but it doesn't go down deep, it doesn't have any roots into the soul, into the heart. And, you know, the hard heart, Satan just keeps the Word from penetrating. But the shallow heart, the Word just, sometimes it can be received quickly, but then just as quickly the person like gives up the Word of God. You're all familiar with people like that, right? Like if they hear the gospel, there might be an initial response, and you're all excited that they responded, but then that response is so shallow that just as quickly as they responded, when trouble comes, they say, I don't want to follow Jesus. heart. So Jesus still, he looks at someone like that, and his heart breaks. Because he loves you. If that's describing your heart, you have a shallow heart, he still loves you the same way that he loves, you know, the good ground yours. And his heart breaks. He's like, let my word penetrate. Let it take root. And he still gives you the precious word. He still sends you the same word to you. That's his compassion. The compassion of Jesus. So, we see here the precious word. And then there's those, and this probably applies to a lot of us at different times in our life. Those of us that we would be good soil, good ground hearers, except there's sometimes the weeds creep in and choke the fruitfulness of God's word in our lives. And we can all relate to that. Like, I know sometimes people have trouble with this passage, with this parable, and they say, well, how many of these people were saved? Is it only the last group with the good soil? Or could you also say the group that had the weeds? Are they saved, but they're just not fruitful Christians? You know, can you be born again and not have a fruitful Christian life? And that's true. You can have that. But it's not God's plan. It's not God's best for you. And so, you know, the weeds that creep in, we have to be on guard. And again, it's the God, the Lord will, you know, as we recognize, Lord, these weeds are in my heart, and they're choking out your word, Lord, and it's bothering me. I'm upset by it. I'm disturbed. Why I have these? You know, it talks about the cares of this world, the anxieties, all those worries, those very human worries, you know, that we get sometimes. But it chokes out the word. And the desire for riches and those things chokes out the word. So, Lord, strengthen my faith. So take out these weeds so your word can be fruitful. Because we all want to be fruitful for the Lord, don't we? We all want to be in that fourth category where a good soil hears. Now, finally, when he talks about the good ground, he says, even with this group, there'll be some that get 30 times, there'll be some that get 60 times, there'll be some that get 100 times. So even when you're a good ground hearer, there's different levels of fruitfulness. Okay, so we want to maximize our fruitfulness for God. We want to be used to the maximum for God's for God's potential. Now, you know, let me just back up a little bit. Okay, we see that the sower is careless, quote careless. He gives his word, even to the bad soil. He gives his word out, and we see that this word is given out is not because it's so easy to come by, but the word in itself is precious. Like that first song we sang about, God's love is extravagant. That means God loves us. He's extravagant. It's like he almost weighs something precious. That's what extravagant means. It's like when that woman broke that very expensive perfume and cleaned Jesus' feet with very expensive perfume, and the disciples were like, man, that's a waste. That perfume is expensive, and you're pouring it on his feet. It's only going to last for a little while. And that's extravagant. God pours upon you something extravagant, something so valuable and precious because he loves you. And the last point I want to say is this. This is where it kind of comes together. That in this parable, the Lord puts no faith in the soil. He puts the faith in the seed. The faith is in the word of God. And it goes back to, in Isaiah where it says, the Lord's ways are not our ways. The Lord tells us that. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. As high as the heaven is above the earth, that's how different my thoughts are from your thoughts. How different my ways are from your ways. Then he says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed, the sower, and bread. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's table here, the bread to the eater. There wouldn't be any bread if there wasn't any seed. There wouldn't be any seed if there wasn't any blessing from heaven, water from heaven. And he says, in the same way that that he sends rain from heaven, the blessing from heaven, all over the earth, in the same way, he says, so is the word that goes out from my mouth. When God's word goes out from his mouth, he says, it will not return to me empty. See? He knows. He puts his faith in the word. He says, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And it's because that this word of God is so powerful and this word of God is so effective and life-giving and heavenly that it can be sent everywhere. Because this parable is also showing that these types of soil, a hard-hearted person, their heart can become softened. You know? And a person with a shallow heart, their heart can become deep. And a person with thorns choking out in their heart, going in their heart, those thorns can be removed. With God, nothing's impossible. And he's bringing people along this path. He's taking the hard-hearted, and he's working on them so their heart becomes soft. And then when the soil's prepared, he takes out the weeds. He's all about bringing fruit as we hear his word. This is the kind of God he is. Now, here's the applications I want to make. Really, two applications. First one now is we need to really take heed how we hear. You know, Jesus will always emphasize that when we're gathered here in a meeting like this, in the Christian fellowship, we are hearing the word of Jesus just the same way that the hearers heard it from his own mouth, because the word of Jesus hasn't changed. The word of the Lord hasn't changed. We have our ears and our hearts attuned and recognize that's God speaking to me. Lord, speak, Lord, that your servant is here. We have to take heed how we hear, and so that we can go on this path to the better and better hearers and have that desire to have his word take deep root in our hearts. And to bear that fruit for eternity. And there's a scripture that says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's in Hosea. And it's talking about, like, the farmers use those plows in the springtime, and those plows dig up the ground. And those plows cut through the ground. And we're to allow God sometimes has to just cut open our heart, dig up our heart, so that the word can be planted and take deep root into the soil of our hearts. And sometimes that's painful. You know, sometimes he'll break your heart. And that never feels good. But he's doing it so that his word can get in there. So if you're heartbroken, recognize there may very well be a purpose, whatever the cause was, God may be using that for a purpose. If you've been heartbroken, that's actually a blessing in disguise, so that his word can grow deeper. That's the first application, that to recognize the condition of your heart and to receive his word to grow and spring up in you. The second application is for those of us who we could look really truly look at our heart and say, I know my heart. I have a love for the Word of God. I desire the Word of God. I have a hunger and thirst for Him. I delight myself in the law of the Lord. And I want to be fruitful for you, Lord. I want to have that eternal fruit. And these people, when it's talking about being fruitful, that's multiplying. Those are the plants that grew up. You know, when a plant reaches maturity, it has a seed in itself. You know, you see those big corn, stalks of corn, and each stalk of corn has seed that could make a whole another field of corn. When you grow up into maturity, and the word of God is multiplied in your life, you're actually also then, you become a distributor. The word of God overflows from you to you know, you want to pass it on, you want to distribute it to people around you. And that's how we can be multiplied, you know, in discipleship and so forth. And what I want to encourage you, because I know you have a lot of different opportunities in your ministry, in the fellowship, and in your outreach. And, as, you know, I want to encourage you, and in your community outreach, I think it was, I saw something in your bulletin about that. And just for the friends you have in school, I want to encourage you that you have the Spirit of Jesus like this sower had. That you don't just go to those that you say, okay, I'm going to invest my things here, my time here, because I know it's going to be this will be likely to pay me back, like a good place to sow my grain, because it's going to have a good crop. God wants you to take what you have and even give it to the bad people, not bad people, but the unlikely places for your friendship to grow. Let's say there's somebody in your school, okay? Let's just say you all know the students in your school. There's always some kid in your school that he's one of those hard kids to get along with, right? You have somebody like that in your school. Just think of somebody. A kid that you don't like to be around, right? For the boys, sometimes there's like a bully in your class that is always pushing people around, right? Now, does Jesus love that person? Yes, he does. Is there something wrong with that person's heart? Most likely there is. If there's somebody that's behaving in a mean way and all that, his heart is probably far from God. So, how can God use you now to somehow distribute the word of God that you've received and to distribute it to that person whose heart is far from God? You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about here. That you invest the resources to all kinds of groups of people, you know, and you may not see the result right away, because this is the whole mystery of this thing, is that God says his word will not return void. So how do you reconcile that with where the word was sowed and the devil came along and snatched it up and it disappeared? Because it's just a matter of time. In time, God's word will break up the stony ground. You know, you see all the stories of missions. When the word of God went into new places, it's so exciting, because when the word of God first went into many places, there was a resistance. And it seemed like the word of God was wasted. And missionaries were wasted. It seems like that. I was reading about when the word of God first went to Korea in the 1800s. It's very interesting. A man went into Korea on a ship. And the people in those times were very hostile to outside people, especially to European people. And they weren't welcomed. And the ship got stuck in this river when the tide went out. And the native people came and they killed the foreigners. And some of the foreigners were trying to fight back, but there was one who was a missionary, and he didn't fight back. He didn't take a gun and try to defend himself. All he did was take Bibles. And he just threw them at the people as they were coming at him with the. He's like, take the Bible, right? And he got killed. But you might say, well, what a waste. What a waste. But see, those Koreans had a hard heart. They didn't know the Word of God. But that Word of God, when other missionaries came later, like 20 years later, those Bibles had been read. And those missionaries that came later, they bumped into these Koreans and said, we've been reading this. And I guess the Bibles have been translated, I don't know, Chinese or Korean or something. But people have been reading the Word of God when the next wave of missionaries came. And so then the root started to get in there. And look at Korea today. See how God works? Korea, I think they have more Christians in Korea than in America now. You know? See, that's fruitfulness. Multiply 30, 60, 100 times. You see, because you're sowing the word where it doesn't seem like it's going to take root. But you sow it there anyway. Because in God's time, his word has the power. Our faith is in the word, not in the soil. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we hold in our hands the precious Word of God, and more importantly, we hold it in our hearts. Our hearts are the treasure house to keep and to store up the precious Word of God, the Word that the eternal Word, the Word that has been from eternity, and the Word that springs up into eternity and that remains for eternity. Lord, give us a consciousness of how precious, how divinely and heavenly precious is the Word of God. Each time we read it, and speak it, hear it, may we precious this divine gift. Lord, we pray that your Word would sink deeper into our hearts today, that the roots would go down deeper, deeper, and deeper into our very souls. Lord, we know it's your Word that bears fruit. It's not us. All we need to do is receive it, and your Word bears the fruit. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be fruitful, more fruitful than ever before, that our lives would be fruitful with your blessing. And give us a compassionate heart, just like you had, to invest ourselves, to spread your Word to places that maybe we feel in our natural opinion it might be frustrating, it may be not worthwhile. But Lord, you command us to go into all the world, not to pick and choose, but to go into every neighborhood, go every place that you might bring us to with the Word of God. So Lord, open up new opportunities for us this week to distribute your blessings, to distribute your Word. And Lord, we commit the increase to you, Lord. We know that one plants and another waters, but Lord, you're the one that brings the increase. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.